Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hi, gang. Now, if you'll all be quiet, we'll start the show.
TMOS Classic. Friday Flashback.
Frazzled.
Why?
Just frazzled.
Just running back and forth and back and forth. And I was telling Carla last night that this house that I live in up here, when I walk around, I'm like a ballerina because I'm avoiding furniture all the time because it's teeny and jammed in. And,
yeah,
you
it's
know,
like a spy house.
And we had us a gang, and so we've got a table that has a leaf in it down in the kitchen, and we kind of spread out the table all the way like into the main room, and we haven't put it back together yet. In fact, we haven't done a lot. The balloons are not taken down from my young son's birthday.
Why rush it? I mean, balloons make things fun.
Yeah, and balloons traditionally are left up. There's no the idea of just taking everything off before the balloons lose helium and they all fall to the ground.
These were not helium balloons. These were hand blown.
Oh.
Hand blown, by the way, which was that's the way we used to advertise dorms in at American University.
That's not how you did it.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Oh, come on. What's wrong with me?
A lot of distance learning there this time.
Sure. Yep. Why didn't I print that out?
Old American
University. Sorry, just talk amongst yourselves.
How are they going to lose it, Mike? How are they going to lose it?
Hey, Maddie. Can you imagine a fully virtual semester?
No, I would have been so pissed off. The whole point of college is to go out and party.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know how you're going to do that. That's just depressing. I feel so bad for them.
Let's go to the Zoom happy hour at Maggie's.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it, imagine? Baby. Yes,
Maggie's the home of the hand-blown balloons.
Yes.
Hand-blown balloons.
I'm asking,
by the way, that makes you dizzy. That makes you dizzy when you do it. We had a great party, by the way. I didn't talk a lot about
it. It was a great party.
It was a great party, and, you know, it was nice. He got his Gammy sent him a battleship. He got a ghillie suit. He got a World War I suit. He got, what else?
A canister of mustard gas. It was a great party.
He got fake grenades. We went all in. You know what? I might as well talk about this at the beginning of the show. Because I've had it on my show prep for a couple of days now.
Okay, fake grenades.
Should I be worried at this military obsession? I know. I played Army when I was a boy.
He's following in his father's footsteps. He sees you watching these docs.
Right, and reading.
He's like, this must be important. And history is important. This is this is quite the departure, though, from, I would say, three-year-old Mike. Not allowed to be... like playing with guns to, hey, don't forget your grenades because we're going out on watch.
I'm asking you honestly. I'm asking you honestly about whether or not this is I don't think it's an obsession. I think, like, for example, he had his buddy Colton come over yesterday. They're both in his military uniforms that he got. He got like a.
I thought you were going to say they're both in the militia.
No, they're both in the, and they're going out back and they're playing, they're running around the yard and they're playing
like
Army.
You have, think about it. Think about, like, from the outside looking in.
Yeah.
You have a friend who's a colonel that comes and stays with you guys. Mm-hmm. You love World War II history. Like, you're a history buff when it comes to that. You enjoy educating your son about the facts. Like, no, they weren't Nazis yet, Michael, but they were still bad during that time.
During,
like,
World War I.
So,
that's right.
Like, this is
point.
You're fostering
point,
all
please.
Of this.
Man. I'm fostering the obsession with the military.
Subconsciously, yes.
Well, I say even outside of that.
I didn't expect that. That's a
even outside of that, when I was growing up.
I didn't expect that one. That might be right. That might be true.
But even if you don't, even if you take that as an outlier, when I was growing up, I was not allowed to have toy guns. It just wasn't what we did. And even then...
Now you're making me want to go out and get him a howitzer.
Sure.
Like to run anyways.
Well, no, but I'm saying that when we played, you know, Army or whatever, you find a stick that looked like a gun and you pretended it was a gun.
Spiewak, you stay in the foxhole.
Yeah.
We'll come
but
back
the thing
for
is,
you.
I may
Spiewak,
be interested,
you're the cook.
I'm interested in world history, but I mean, I don't obsess. I'm not like Tony Soprano, where the only thing I watch is the History Channel and watch World War II about Hitler.
I'll be honest
with you. I've read two books out of the last three books I've read. Two of them have involved, the bad people in World War II.
But he also sees your esteem and respect for the colonel. He doesn't know, you know, what the
colonel. Oh, he called him colonel, too,
yeah,
which
so
was
I'm
wonderful.
Just saying, like, why wouldn't
that
you buy
really?
Into you?
That's cool.
Yeah.
You would buy into all of that, which is great, which is fine. By the way, not a bad thing overall. But if you're wondering where it comes from, where it stems from, how does he know which tanks are which tanks?
Well, I tell him.
Okay.
So, but he asked me, he said, what kind of tank is this? It's a Sherman tank. So what's that? It's Panzer. So they were better than the Sherman tanks because they had thicker armor. But I think you could do damage to them underneath. He's asking the questions.
But all kids.
What ship is that? That's a destroyer. What ship is that? It's a battleship. You got a toy battleship, and we're going to play with it in the pond.
All kids
we can find
love,
the pond. Hi, Linus.
He's ready to go out. Look at him.
Linus, like his coloring is different in that light.
Yeah.
He looks like a blonde dog.
The lighting is different because we've started a half hour early. It'll change. He'll look normal at about 9:15. The kids' fascination with the army and also police, I think it's because we instill authority into children to respect authority. And I think a lot of kids love the army. They love to play army. I think that Michael is a curious and intelligent kid. That takes it to the next level. But the basis of liking the army, that's just kids being kids, I think.
Well, just quickly, if you don't mind, and we'll pad for you.
Pad for a second.
Yeah, because he's turtling. He's got to
go. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we don't want him to drop a Duke right on your floor. Oh, there you go. No need to wear shoes. Doing the show. No need to wear shoes. God. Look at him.
Yeah, he's going to go sniff around and eat some plants.
You put proper footwear on, you'll focus on the show.
How about you focus on me not wearing proper footwear, and then everything will be fine.
Those Elaine Boozler feet of yours that you have.
Wow. Odd reference, but appreciate
it. You've got Fred Flintstone feet. Like, they're
always
great.
Feet that are just so...
I mean, well, if I didn't, I'd fall down. Look what they have to support.
Do your shoes anywhere near you right now?
I've got my Birks down here. Yeah.
Where are they?
Hold on, they're over here.
I just like the tour of people's homes yesterday so much with Mac that I'm craving more of it right now. There they
are.
Oh,
look at those.
Those four put upon. Those
sweet.
Those good boy.
He's back. He's like, yeah, I'm back. All right. Here we go.
Look at those feet. Look at those feet. Look at those
feet. Now, he gets a treat.
Oh, yes.
Linus, come here.
What
come
do
here,
you
buddy.
Get? Look. Dr. Scholl's foot powder?
Come on, buddy.
Oh,
good boy.
Linus.
Oh, look at that.
So
he got
sweet.
On his back feet there.
That's good
by
boy.
The way, for those of you that keep track of our hounds, I'm in love with Winslow. Love him, love him,
so
love
you
him,
total
love
turn
him, love
on him.
Him,
total turn.
Oh, you can't not. He's not. His personality is too significant. You just can't ignore it. He's just.
What about
all...
your? What about your damp mattress?
The damp mattress. We crate him at night, and
okay.
He's right next to Carlos, so he's fine as wine. He might whine a little bit in the morning, but she takes him out in the middle of the night when he has to go, like a little baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I took him out this morning, and he.
So the crate's
goes,
in the bedroom.
The crate is in the bedroom.
That's
yeah.
Sweet.
And we
nice.
Move it from downstairs because we crate him a lot. If we go out of the house, we
got
crate
to.
Him because he's still a puppy, but he's very lovable. But getting back to my kid, so the question is, I don't be instead of placing the blame on where you know who instilled this, and I'm not going to dispute that I might be influencing my son. Should I be concerned about all this military stuff? Like the first question today was, Dad, when was the Civil War? And I said it was in the 1800s.
That's a heavy,
you said I was
question.
Very young then, son, so
yeah.
I don't remember. It was cold. We remember that.
Did you say it's history, not hate?
That's right.
I'm
that's
just right. trying to discern from perhaps
Mike,
you morons whether or not this obsession
I will go
is
on
an
the
unhealthy
record.
Thing, or I should just let it pass, knowing that it will pass. I don't. Here's what I don't want. This is no disrespect on our armed forces. I truly believe that without our men in uniform and our women in uniform, we would have a tough time because there are a lot of bad actors on the international stage. However, I personally would not want to see my son go into the military because, of course, I want him to be safe. So that's kind of the way I look at it. But if he did that, that would be okay too. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, Mike, no, I think this is what you should be worried about, and I defer to the parents in the audience.
I'm going to electrocute my hand now. Right?
Why?
Please do. Ah! Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
I think that you, and I'm not going to speak for you, but I think what you probably meant to say is that you don't want to foster an unhealthy relationship with with what is just playing but could be perceived as violence.
TMOS Classic.
You know, comfort is personal. For me, comfort is crawling into bed at the end of a long day and knowing I'm going to wake up feeling good, not sore, not sweaty, just rested. That's why I love what Avocado Green Mattress is doing. Their eco-organic mattress is their most affordable option. But here's the thing. It doesn't cut corners. It's a hybrid latex mattress with the perfect medium firmness, soft, supportive, and designed to last. You'll feel just as good getting into it as you do getting out of it. And here's something I really appreciate. Avocado owns their own springs, wool, and latex supply, so they pass the savings on to you. That means you get healthier, organic sleep at a surprisingly affordable price without compromise. Plus, it's sustainably made with trusted certifications that prove it's better for you and the planet. That's real peace of mind. So head to avocadogreenmattress.com today and save up to 20% on Avocado's certified organic mattresses. Avocado, dream of better.
To be a dog in the O'Mara house is to have a life of luxury and pampering and just to have a mistress, Mrs. O'Mara, who takes care of the hound so well, and I get to find these things in my bed.
Oh, gross.
How's that? That is a bully stick.
Yeah, that is like a naked bully stick, too.
That is that probably not technically Frankie's handiwork right there.
The most intimate part of a bull?
Who knows? I think it might be like a bull's.
Yeah,
I don't know whether that's true.
That
or
looks
not.
Like the humpback whale, or the I think it was a humpback whale. No, maybe a bit of sperm whale. Sperm whale.
That so does, to speak.
It's Shark Week, Mike, as you know. And Nat Geo is having a bunch of different specials that are all the same from the years of past, but remixed. Yeah. And this time they have like a sperm whale that they're just towing behind a boat that blue sharks get to feed on. That's what that looks like. In real
life. Yeah. I mean, and the thing about Frankie, the Chihuahua, is that Frankie has no teeth. He's had dental procedures like throughout his 12 years on this planet. And you'll hear.
Yeah.
And I'm like trying to watch a little tube in the bedroom with my wife. And I'm.
He's all gums.
You're going to stop that. You're going to stop that. And I mean, I'm talking hours with something this.
At any point, does Carla hear that noise and think you're starting to get intimate with her? Just from the distance, you making that noise.
The art of seduction that I always have.
The
when
delicate
I go,
art of seduction.
That's your mating call.
That's how I do it. I'll just look over to go.
sticks are 100%. They're 100% beef muscle. They contain only one ingredient: beef pizzle. P-I-Z-Z-L-E. And so I said, well, what's pizzle? Pizzle is an old English word for penis. Derived from.
So it's real?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, derived from the low German pizzle. Yeah.
That is a
smells so bad.
Pizzle.
A bull's thing.
Yeah. Also.
Really?
Wow. Snoop Dogg would refer to it as the pizzle.
I wonder why it was never called the pizzle stick. They wouldn't sell as
much. Do you think it's a little macabre that they use that? I mean, think about it. I mean, do they really have to use that part? Is that what they have to?
And are we soft we can't just say bull penis stick?
No, you can say that, I suppose, but I think it's more fun to say pizzle. You know the motto down pizzle at Smithfield, Mike? They say, when we use a pig, we use everything except the oink. So, I mean, there's obviously use for something.
Well, let's waste no time and dive right into a health update on our guy. We got
health
a lot on the show. A lot to unpack.
Oh, my God. So
I
much
hate when people
We've
say
got
that.
So much to unpack today.
Let's unpack this.
Before we get to Oscar's health, I have to say this. There's so many little isms that you have in radio and broadcasting. Unpack means, you know, stuffed. And this is just a little peek behind the curtain, especially when you do like a 4 or 5 hour show.
Yes.
Beware when you hear a host say something like, we have so much to get to today that we are, you know, whenever they have to talk about it, they're going the opposite way. They're probably desperate to get phone calls or death. We have abbreviated our show that we do about a 90-minute show. So it's really never, to be quite honest, we could come in here without the amount of show prep that I do every day and have a fine discussion because the three of us are more than capable of filling time, flapping our gums. When you hear, man, we're just so overloaded. We are so.
Don't even know where to start.
Now, when I say I'm behind on time, that's completely legitimate. And, you know, we throw two guests in the mix where there's a lot going on. When you hear that, that's when you're really unpacking a lot. When you hear it during a show, usually it means the host is just trying to sound like they're so scary busy. But they're really probably not.
No.
I thought I'd give that little tidbit to the audience.
I like when hosts come on and say, look, let's be honest. There's nothing going on, but we're going to do our best.
That's an honest host. You know, wouldn't you love to hear that? Wouldn't you love to hear one of the people that that come on and talk about just how great they are, come out and say, I really don't have anything. I'm relying on you to call.
Steve Ducey could say it. I would love to hear Steve Ducey say it.
I've heard at least two or three people in my lifetime ever, especially during this pandemic, say, especially if it's sports radio.
Yes. Hey, sports radio.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Nothing.
Been talking to some of my buddies in sports radio.
And this is what's crushing.
It's a challenge.
For the junkies, it's great because they did hot talk before sports. For those that have to feign a personality and an opinion, that's when it was hard. But luckily, sports is back.
Certain columnists that came from print that have no business being behind a microphone. They had regular radio guys when we got blown out of WJFK. And then they peppered these guys with jocks and print writers who just didn't last. It's hard to do.
They kind of paired them up, and then the threadbare showed through. And it's sad, right?
Because it's tough enough. In most cases, it's not a knowledge of the sport or a sport,
right?
Where you happen to have an expert that'll take you through like one segment of one show.
That's it.
You have to be able to be an incredible broken personality and a narcissist to be able to sustain this kind of chat. Because then you can talk all day long.
If you go further, there are the ones that would say, I'm sorry we didn't get to your calls. I'll speak to you in the office after the show.
Hi there. Well, he was great, though. if you want to talk about a pure sports guy and these were the pioneers that, Ken Beatrice was one of the pioneers that started the whole sports talk movement.
Yep.
You know, but anyway, we could talk about radio forever. I want to get to when I talk about what we have planned today, that I only mention this to show you what we won't get to today.
Okay.
Right? We have to talk about Oscar's health. Carla and I binged an entire television show last night. Now, it was only four episode, I think, but they were hour long episodes.
That's
binged
a lot.
My sister and the etiquette of texting. Carla said that I made the family uncomfortable when I was calling my sister out about a texting exchange that we had.
You gotta tell him, Mike. I'll just share it with you. Live that life.
Yeah,
it's frustrating. Baseball. I've got comments on that. Carla and another hot car situation with one of God's creatures in a hot car on a hot day. I'll be gone in the dark. We've had that on our show prep list for a long time. We've never gotten to it. And Oscar's got a new website that we will love.
Yes.
That's how much we have. We're not going to get to all of it.
Mike, there's so much to unpack.
There's so much to unpack.
At the end of the day, there's a lot to unpack.
Mm.
Right. So some might be saying right now, well, shut up and get to it.
TMOS Classic.
Just having, and I think I said this on the show, just having just normal symptoms that could be anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Like freak you out to even when you're as, I guess,
terrifying.
Informed
getting
as
a common cold right now in the era of COVID would be fracturingly scary.
Get your flu shot, people.
Terrifying.
I still take my temperature twice a day. I feel fine. I'm taking my temperature twice a day.
Because it's your toes, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry,
the thermometer is down there right now, as a matter of fact.
We'll figure it out.
Well, I'm on Sudafed. I have a problem.
I can tell. But that's okay. You're a trooper for coming in. I appreciate that.
Good.
You know, here's the thing about the whole COVID deal is that what you say is correct. I can only imagine. I think we've all perhaps during this pandemic, even if we haven't gotten sick, had a moment or two, or maybe there's a dry throat, maybe there's a little sniffle here and there, that will freak you out because you think, is this it? Is this it? Yeah. It's not a call. You just never know. And when we're out doing, living our lives, it happens right now. And you, let's be honest, by Friday, you were pretty freaked out.
Yeah,
You were freaked out enough to go get tested.
I was freaked out enough that I sent Maddie home early.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yeah.
And Maddie's back from Buffalo. Right?
Boston.
Maddie's back from Boston.
Yes.
Hi, Maddie.
Hello. How are you?
And how was the weekend in Boston?
It was great. Got to see the fam. Had a lot of lobster. Good. It was a great time.
Lobster. Sounds like you worked on your fake enthusiasm.
I guess not that well.
How was the travel? Like, how do you get on a plane? Like, what's the Maddie go-to?
Yeah, what's that like?
So I wore 3 masks, a face shield, gloves. I had hand sanitizer and then wipes to wipe everything down. Mm-hmm. And it seems like I was the only person in the airport who cared. Because everybody
that
else
sucks.
Just had
that
like really one mask on.
That sucks. Well, yeah, you know, at least one mask.
You did your job. You did your job. Thank you.
I did. But nobody.
So did
like,
anybody give you a hard time with that? With and when Maddie wears the face shield, it's the kind that you see in hospitals. Yeah, it's the plastic shield across. Mm-hmm. When you said 3 masks, did you have 3 layers of paper?
Yes,
is that
I had
what you were doing?
A surgical mask, and then I think a SN95, and then another surgical mask.
You know what, Maddie?
Wow.
Seriously, if you feel at all guilty about that, I'm listening to that right now, and I'm saying to myself,
responsibility.
What a brilliant idea. I mean, to kind of lock it down to make sure none of those particles are coming in. To get on it, if you're going to get on an airplane, I'd look at a Maddie Masiello and I'd say that's smart.
Bingo, bango.
I would say that.
Or I would say autoimmune. Has to be autoimmune.
So was there anybody else that was even close to what you were doing?
No, not at all. It really felt like nobody else really cared. And that just like them wearing a mask was like an inconvenient. Half of them were like below the nose.
Oh, no.
It was crazy. I was the only one wiping anything down. I was like, I'm not even that like anal about it, but it was like, everybody was...
That makes you want to do it. Like, you're like, I'm going to wipe everything down.
These people aren't caring. Yeah. And I flew Spirit. So, you know, the people on that flight are even less likely to care.
You probably should have been wiping that down a year ago.
It's so true.
Now, the Spirit's a 737s. I know that. They're 3-3s.
Yes.
So, were middle seats empty on the Spirit flight?
No. On both flights, I was assigned a middle seat. Luckily, the window seat both times ended up being empty, so I just slid over.
Good. And there was a space in between you and the next person.
Yeah,
it's so absurd.
But Mike,
didn't Spirit fly 737s during the Spanish flu as well?
That was the Holy Spirit.
How are we? If you want to know, like, a perfect example of why we are stupid,
right?
I know there's an economic. The airlines have so much juice with the government. They never should have stopped doing at least the middle seat rule, which I thought was,
pretty cool.
If you're going to do anything, you can do it. Then they talk about their hospital-grade air filters. Doesn't matter if you got sick people in back of you or in front of you, because it's going to come over the seat and get you. But, right. I mean, the thing is, why not? There's where we are, where people have to go in and be terrified because they're not protected. On an airplane.
Have you ever been on a flight? Let me ask you this question. And Rob, have you ever been on a flight with no one coughing around you?
Never. No. Never in my life. There is always some hacking person that's doing that. And how many people, haven't we always said, you travel and
you get sick.
You get sick.
The flu.
I mean, so Maddie, it would be a little scary to experience that, and I'm with you 1,000%. I'm proud of you.
Thank
I think
you.
That is really, really
that was weird looks, you did that. But no, thank you.
F them.
Good.
Yeah.
More weird looks, more smart people.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm very proud to have you associated with
Hell
it.
Hell yeah.
TMOS Classic.
Hit that rockin' jingle.
Stop.
Hello, this is Scott Shannon, a professional radio pronosticator from New York City.
Shannon in the morning. Scott Shannon.
Scott Shannon.
C-100.
Shall we? And then at the end of the show today, I might have a little song poem slash thing.
Oh, I like that. Sometimes, Mike, I run into a piece of news or copy that makes me want to talk like Scott Shannon. But before I say that, do you know what a milliner is?
A milliner? Is that a hat maker?
Exactly. Very good.
I thought it was like a golf
term. Hey, I got it. I got it on the first guess.
How do you know hat maker?
Well, he has that beautiful hat.
Well, because, back in the day, we had milliners and we had blacksmiths when I was a child. Or when I was a child without biting my lip.
Cobblers.
When I was a child.
You had cobblers?
Mike, I want to talk about a Florida milliner named Odilon Ozar. Do you know what he did?
What did he do?
I want to tell you a little bit about this because this is really funny. This guy has built the world's tallest
hat.
I'm a local artist and a milliner. A milliner is a hat maker. I've built here the world's tallest hat. It's 18 feet, 9 inches tall. Previous record was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. It took several weeks to make it. You can't move much. If you move, it's going to fall over. Do things differently are always looked at as an unusual, and then when the world comes around to understand them and adapt those things, then they become visionaries. Right now, you might think it's a little silly to wear a very tall top hat, but in 10 years from now, this may catch on. You may see George Clooney wearing a top hat on the runway.
I don't think it's silly to wear a 19-foot tall hat. What do you think, Monkey Boy?
Do you still have your big hat, Milliner?
I do. My Milliner hat is up in the right-hand corner, but I'm writing my song on the fly.
Oh, no worries. So I can do your thing.
Okay, the Utah state representatives did something they should not do. And, yes. Mike, I need you to pay just attention because you'll need to blow
those
up.
I'm here. I'm paying attention.
They wrote a rap song about how a bill becomes a law, and they set it to the theme of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, nice.
And they don't care. That's the problem. But here's the way a bill becomes a law.
Now, this is a story all about how
our bills get flipped into a law.
I'd like to take a minute and just sit right there.
I'll tell you how a bill becomes law, and this I came back.
Your tax dollars at work.
Iowa, right?
In legislative
Utah.
Mind, an idea is raised.
In the law book is where they spend most of their day.
Drafting out, maxing out, hardly relaxing, all cool.
And I'll introduce some bills inside of House chambers.
We're more than a couple of guys. Start reviewing the bill.
Are they making changes in committee on the Hill?
They may get one.
Mike, please blow it up.
They
care. Please.
They
say I'm sorry. Oh, I can't, Rob. I'm doing something here.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Boom. So that's what's going on in Utah. This next tape.
Wait,
was
briefly.
Right. Yes.
I had to look this up. The fact that they have so many electorates in Utah,
yeah.
And you have so much time to actually produce a video like this,
yes.
Really pisses me off.
It bothers me,
with
yeah.
All
yeah.
The things that aren't being done.
Why
the
do they
right
have
now?
So much time in Provo?
Mormons.
Answer me that, Monkey Boy. Okay. I think this borders on child abuse. This was trending on YouTube yesterday. A toddler, under 2 looked like, mm-hmm. Maybe 2 years old, wanted to try wasabi.
Okay.
Because the parents were eating sushi, right? So they let her taste the wasabi, and her reaction, I will say, is priceless.
Want to try wasabi?
No.
Do you want to try it?
No.
Okay.
Wasabi.
Do you want to try it? Smell it. Smell it first.
She tasted a minuscule dot of wasabi, which is bad parenting, but
that's
the child's reaction is...
You don't
is,
give your kids wasabi, for God's sake.
And she said, help.
Help. Now, here's good news. Kelly Ripa...
I'll help. Anyway, go ahead.
I like it. All of my nerve receptors are dead.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Where'd that come from? Kelly Ripa... Right. Stop talking. Kelly Stop Ripa talking. Supports Ryan Seacrest.
I just want you to know that you are a privilege to work with, and I adore you. And I'm speaking on behalf of...
Oh, yes, Kelly. Oh, yes.
I know what an easy, professional, great person you are, and I feel very, very lucky to work with you each and every day. And we all do.
You are happiness.
You are happiness.
Your happiness wrapped in chocolate. So there.
By the way, happiness wrapped in chocolate is a category on youporn.com. You can check that out.
When someone says you are happiness, that means I'm guilty.
Yeah, I think so.
Allegedly.
Let us close with this. These are scary times we live in. Vladimir Putin has issued an animated presentation showing how they can blow up the United States without being fought by any sort of defense missile system.
It's anti-ballistic.
Yeah, he said it's absolutely it's useless against the system. Although I doubt it because they didn't show actual footage; they showed an animation of it. So here's the
computer animation.
Here's the animation that Russia issued yesterday.
At last, after 2,000 years of work, the Iridium Q-36 explosive space modulator.
Pardon me again, Doc, but yeah. Just what did you mean
Megyn Kelly.
By that crack about the Earth being gone?
Oh, I'm going to blow it up. Where's the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom.
So batten down the hatches and be ready for whatever they got. That is your magic audio
vault. That's the audio vault.
Have a good Friday, everybody. Woo! Good weekend.
And I leave you with one last little thing, ladies and gentlemen.
A song.
On the Mike O'Mara Show fan page.
Okay.
From Cameron Huntley, who wrote, I will read it to you.
Okay.
Over 33 minutes of the mailbag. WTF. The fact is, this was not an improvement. So I just wanted to say thank you, Cameron. Oh. That was very, very, very kind of you. And then I wrote a little thing. I'm really sick of guys named Cameron. And I thought that was a fun reference to the George Carlin.
Yeah, of course.
And then Cameron wrote back to me, well, I guess we should have donated to your donuts for the Little League then. Because Cameron doesn't get it. So, Cameron, this is a song for you.
Oh, just for him.
Cameron Huntley is a douchebag. Cameron Huntley is a stain. Cameron Huntley is a hemorrhoid. Cameron Huntley has no brain. Cameron Huntley is an asshat. Cameron Huntley is a hump. Screw yourself, Cameron Huntley. I see you when I take a dump. Thank you very much. There you go.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.